Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Like Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. Now, I don't often begin the programmes with a waltz, but I'm going to break the rule on this occasion, mainly because I couldn't find an overture I really wanted to hear, but nevertheless. And the waltz is by Emil Waldteufel. He was the sort of French Strauss. This is a waltz written by him in 1880, Love and Spring. The Waltz, Love and Spring by Emil Waldteufel. In my opinion, as good as anything any of the Strauss dynasty wrote, and as he was a French composer, there's great care taken over the orchestration. Lots of lovely details there. The music of Waldteufel. And now to the music of Gluck, the great 18th century opera composer and indeed opera reformer. Gluck was born in 1714, so in the middle of the sort of the high Baroque period of Vivaldi and Handel, and he died in Vienna in 1787, when Mozart was at the height of his fame. In fact, Mozart knew Gluck, had met Gluck on a number of occasions and much admired his works. Gluck wrote probably, 40 operas. Many of them are in Italian, in the sort of serious opera style of the time, which really consisted of a sequence of recitatives and sometimes very florid arias with an occasional duet and very occasionally a chorus to end each act. But Gluck eventually got fed up with writing this kind of opera and wondered how he could actually make the characters be a bit less wooden, a bit less statuesque, more human. And the only way he could do this was to change this recitative aria format, which he tried to do and succeeded brilliantly over a number of operas, the first of which was Orfeo, which exists in two versions, an Italian version and a slightly later French version, which has ballets. Now, one of those ballets, one of those movements, is a delightful piece, very, very well known, Dance of the Blessed Spirits. And that's what we're going to hear now. So, from Gluck's Orfeo, the Dance of the Blessed Spirits.
Thank you.
The Dance of the Blessed Spirits from Gluck's opera Orfeo, or rather Orfeo and Eurydice. Lovely piece, very relaxing. So we need something to wake ourselves up with, I think. Bizet. Now, Bizet, best known, of course, for Carmen, wonderful opera. I don't know, perhaps it's the most performed opera in the repertoire. I'm not sure. Certainly in the top 10, anyway. But, of course, he wrote a lot of other music, including other operas, which, of course, don't often get a hearing, except, of course, famous excerpts, like the famous duet from The Pearl Fishers. I wonder how many people have actually heard or even seen that opera. It's really very, very good. Not very far below Carmen in quality, of course, but the story perhaps not quite so interesting as Carmen, which, of course, is tragic and fiery and passionate. Before that, he wrote quite a bit of other music, including some orchestral music, again, which is not very well known. There's a wonderful symphony called Roma, which my horn professor at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama back in the late 60s, early 70s, told me was a wonderful piece with some very difficult horn parts. I do have a recording of it, but I've never, ever played it. Better known is the Symphony in C, which was a favourite piece of Sir Thomas Beecham. And we're going to hear the scherzo from this quite early piece of Bizet, but I think you'll recognise some of the sort of Bizet fingerprints, and even if not, it's a very jolly piece. The scherzo, then, from Bizet's Symphony in C.
Thank you.
Delightful scherzo from Bizet's youthful Symphony in C. As I say, a favourite piece of Sir Thomas Beecham. So we need a piece of genuine British light music, and who better to supply it than Sidney Torch? This is a piece called Shooting Star. Now, Torch was a cinema organist, but he became a household name through hundreds of broadcasts and recordings. He was the instigator, really, of BBC's long-running radio programme Friday Night is Music Night, which started in 1953. And he wrote over 100 pieces of music for the famous Chapel's Music Library of Mood Pieces. And I suspect this little piece, Shooting Star, is one of them. The music of Sidney Torch. Sidney Torch, Shooting Star. And now for something a little less hectic. We go back into the 18th century, to the height of the Baroque era. That's the era of Bach and Vivaldi and Handel, of course, Rameau, the great French composer, and the Italian genius Pergolesi. Like Schubert and Mozart, he was very short-lived, managed to write several operas and other sacred pieces in his short life, the most famous of which is the Stabat Mater, still performed today. It was just about the last piece he completed before he died, and it was probably the most popular setting of Stabat Mater. These are the words, of course, of Mary at the foot of the cross. One of the most popular, if not the most popular, setting in the entire 18th century. I mean, who's heard of anybody else's? There's a marvellous setting by Haydn, for example, but it's a rather long work and probably lasts an hour in performance. And I think I've maybe heard it once, full of wonderful things. But somehow the Pergolesi Stabat Mater hits the spot, if I can put it that way. So here's the opening then, and it's sung for us this evening by two young singers, Amelia Jacques and Cassian Pichler-Rocha. Thank you. Starbuck Martyr, the opening of the Starbuck Martyr by Pergolesi. The words, of course, the words of Mary at the foot of the cross. A beautiful setting and beautifully sung by two young singers. Now for something completely different, and I apologise if the juxtaposition of that piece and this next piece is a bit too much, but, well, there you go. This is another piece of Bizet, very short, I have to say. This is the minuet from La Lisienne, one of his most popular works. It's played by a saxophone quartet called the Fairer Sax, and I think it works brilliantly. The minuet from Bizet's La Lisienne. What a delightful arrangement of the minuet from Bizet's La Lisienne, played by the Fairer Sax Saxophone Quartet. If we've time, I might just return to that disc later in the programme for something else. It's just an enchanting, enchanting sound. So, where does that bring us? We need something, something to sort of sit back to, close the eyes, hopefully not fall asleep, but I wouldn't blame you if you did. This is one of the most relaxing piano concerto slow movements I know, and it's a rather surprising one when I tell you the composer is Shostakovich. Now don't run shrieking from the room. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous piece. Now I know some of Shostakovich's music, some of the string quartets, the Eighth Symphony for example, are extremely difficult works to listen to. I mean, they're punishingly hard to play and extremely gritty and emotionally torturous. But he wrote other music as well, including some very whimsical ballet scores. And even amongst the symphonies, there are some lovely movements. I wouldn't say they're in a lighter vein, but they're full of lyrical melody. They sort of almost hark back to the era of Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky. Anyway, see what you think. I think this is a lovely, lovely piece. This is the slow movement, then, from Shostakovich, Piano Concerto No. 2. A lovely, lovely piece that. So relaxing, isn't it? The slow movement there of the Shostakovich Piano Concerto No. 2. Let's continue that mood with another stunning slow movement from one of my favourite concertos. This is the Bach Concerto in D minor for two violins. And this is the, well, heavenly slow movement. I love the way the two solo violins weave around, you know, with each other. It's quite a miraculous piece. So let's just hold this mood for another 5 or 6 minutes. Bach, Concerto for two violins in D minor, the slow movement.
Thank you.
utterly gorgeous. The slow movement from Bach's Concerto for Two Violins in D minor. Now, from the sublime to the ridiculous, this is Howard Flynn's The Clatter of the Clogs. Howard Flynn, The Clatter of the Clogs. Now, I wonder what Bach would have made of that piece had he been able to project himself forward some 300 years from Leipzig. I can't imagine, quite honestly. There are a number of instruments there, saxophones, clarinets, he wouldn't even have recognised, but just something that, you know, I think about in these idle moments. Now, that brings us to the end of the programme. We just need something to play us out, and I think I've got the perfect piece. Please join me again next Thursday at 9, when I'm going to play an entire Bruckner symphony. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. In the first place, an hour wouldn't be enough for most of Bruckner's symphonies, and he doesn't really fit into the genre of light music in any way. But I thought I'd just get the heart beating there for a minute. So, I don't know what will be in next week's programme. One or two surprises. I'll see if I can look out something really odd from the collection. Well, in fact, pretty much all my collection's really odd. Anyway, you know what I mean. I'm rambling. It's time to say goodbye. And we'll say goodbye with a piece I don't think I've played before. Sir Landon Ronald's In an Eastern Garden. Goodbye.